This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Rolling through the show. Hour number two is on deck and ready to go right here on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. As we always do, we'll be giving back to you throughout the show. We'll have some giveaway opportunities and lots of information and some fun and games and, dare I say, some shenanigans. Have you peeped in on all of our listeners participating through social media and otherwise?
Yeah, not a ton from Twitter. Some movie suggestions. Of course, Steven Usyk wanted us to watch Twister. I'm like, of course the resident ESPN weather guy would want us to watch Twister. And he said, hey, it's a good movie. And it is. It's just, not high on the list for me. I did look up leading scorers in the NFL. You were correct. Adam Vinatieri, 2,600 points exactly. At number one.
There you go.
And most of the top.
Coming back. He's coming back for another year, so that means he's going to be adding to those numbers.
Yeah, most of the top are kickers. So number two, Morton Anderson, 25-54. Gary Anderson, number three, 24-34. Jason Hansen, John Carney, Matt Stover, George Blanda, Jason Elam, John Casey, Sebastian
All
Janikowski.
Kickers, yeah.
Yeah. Janikowski at 10 with 1,913 points. And we know that 1,799 of those were with the Raiders.
No doubt. And someone said who was better, Shane Lechler or Seabass. And the bottom line is they were both on the same squad for John Gruden for years, and they're both going to be in the Hall of Fame someday.
Serious question. Mm-hmm. If someone told you as a kid when you were playing football, hey, just focus on being a kicker. Would you, like, if you had a kid, would you ever be like, hey, man, let's just work on you being a kicker? Because you'll last 18 years. You'll make $53 million. You'll be one of the most prolific scorers in NFL history. We're going to make you the best kicker on the planet. You know, like Tiger Woods' dad did. Because it's not manly. Like, no one wants to be the kicker. But, dude, that's the smart play.
Well, there's no doubt about it. Like, one of my buddies, his brother, was in high school. And they started working with him and sent him to kicking camps and all this stuff. And I'm like, dude, really? For football, you sent him to a kicking camp? He's like, bro, he's getting better. Next thing you know, he got a full ride to college.
Yep.
Got a full year. So he got his college taken care of, had a really good career kicking the ball, and got some looks. Now, he didn't end up on an NFL roster, but the bottom line is saved a ton of money for him and his family.
I was going to say, he got an education.
Got an education out of the deal. Still spent a whole lot of quality time building relationships in a team setting that's going to help you going forward. Made some contacts, I'm sure, along the way.
Yeah.
And had a shot. So there's something to be said about that.
It's not one of those things where kids don't lay in bed at night like, man, I just wish I could kick a football or punt a football. But, you know, it's not a bad play.
We talked about scoring. Now, you want to go because we said that also Sebastian Janikowski had a powerful leg. Longest field goal in NFL history. Now, forever and a day, it was Tom Dempsey, and people used to say, yeah, but he had half a foot, and he had a wooden shoe, and they
right,
were
and the
always
flat
take, yeah, they
front.
Were taking
was
all
it,
kinds
was
of
that
shots.
The guy with the flat front of the foot?
Yep, yep. Yeah. All right, so here, you have any guesses who the longest field goal in NFL history is?
I would say it had to have been Janikowski in Denver at one point.
Close, but you got the location.
It's in Denver.
Right. Matt 68? Prater.
68?
64 yards, Matt Prater, Broncos, December 8th, 2013. The previous record was 63, which was originally set by Tom Dempsey. Then it was matched by Jason Elam, also a Bronco.
Yeah.
Sebastian Janikowski.
Played the Broncos a lot.
David Akers and Graham Gano in 2018. Last season, Graham Gano with the Panthers, 63.
Damn. Were all of those in Denver?
It'd be interesting to find out. I'd have to look out each and every one of them because you think about it, you're right. With Akers, I think altitude could have played a part, even though I think Akers, he was Philadelphia and San Francisco. But Janikowski for sure playing in Denver's division. Jason Elam was the Broncos kicker, and so was Prater.
The only reason that I could think that you wouldn't want to be a kicker is because, like, I don't feel like kickers get, like, you don't get ass as a kicker, right? Like, no chicks are like, oh my God, I'm going to meet
the kicker.
Win a couple
games, you do.
No, even then, they just rub you on the head, and they're like, good job, buddy, and then we're going to go have sex with girls. You go read a book.
If a minor league baseball player can get ass.
Hey, Sebastian Janikowski took care of that, too.
Dude. Minor league baseball player.
What, he put roofies in the drinks and got caught with it?
Oh, Ouch. What minor league baseball
player? Triple A players? Do they
pull?
Oh, yeah.
100%.
Oh, yeah, I still feel like at least you're a Triple A baseball player as a kicker. Kickers are like the bass players in a band. Like, no one wants to sleep with the bass player. Everybody's like, ooh, lead guitar or lead singer or the drummer. But no one is like, man, I really want to bang the bass player. No one wants to bang the kicker.
Okay, I'm going to say punter. This. Because, like, to Nick's point,
I like pronouncing groupies, the T because it pisses people off.
There's groupies in every sport.
I say punter, and it pisses people off. But no one wants to bang kickers or punters, period.
I'm telling you, man. No. If you're a football groupie and he kicks a couple of game winners, and they know
please.
Look what he made.
You might
they
get like
know,
a...
They
might
got get a, Google. They know how much he's making. I disagree.
He might get like a game-winning handy on the bus. I don't think I can say that.
They're pretty boys. They're pretty boys.
I don't
get hurt. Most kickers are... And they score.
I'm just telling you.
You know who's got the most... most career 50-plus yard field goals in NFL history?
A guy that's never had sex with a groupie. That's going to be my guess. You're not going to convince me of this.
I feel like I tend to agree with Joel. I feel like the kicker can.
No way.
And I feel like there. Someone could call in. A female could call in. But like,
well,
I feel like
one of the kickers.
Like
on
even
the
like in the rock band. Like you said, bass player. I feel like, you know what? I'll take the drummer. I'm sure there's a girl out there that'd be like, you know what? I'll bang the drummer tonight. I'll bang the bassist.
That's what I'm saying. Drummers, lead guitar, and lead singer all get
I'm
ass.
I'm sure drummers get ass.
No one wants to bang the bass player.
I'm sure the bass player gets ass too.
The drummer gets ass.
Bass players get ass too.
Bass players don't get nearly as much ass.
Bro,
I disagree.
Watch the dirt.
Bass players are just like a step up from tambourine.
And
just
watch
no
the
one
dirt.
Bangs the tambourine player.
Everyone in Motley Crue got ass.
Like, you might get an HJ as the bass player.
Oh, yeah. Now you're going to go.
Now
I've
got to clean it up. Yeah. Well, I didn't know for sure if I could have said the other word. I think I've said it before. Oh, well. But I feel like the same thing with kickers and punters. No one is dying to give up the ass to a punter. That's just not a thing.
I'm telling you, Nick, we need to just send a tweet to Sebastian Janikowski and the guys on the top of the list.
There are no groupies.
And just ask, how much ass did you get kicking field goals throughout your career?
No way.
I guarantee you that were getting some.
No way.
I disagree.
I think that they might tell you that to stretch the truth and enhance their story. But truth be told, I feel like the kickers and punters go home lonely way more often than, you know, even just like a middle linebacker or
Dude,
something.
When you look at some of these stories on the NFL channels and stuff about now the kicker and their family, almost every single one of them's got a hot wife.
Okay, but that's not just... That's
you think
not,
that happened because
that's not
they were
ass,
smart
like,
and had good personality?
Yeah, that's not getting ass hand over fist. That's not having groupies. Everyone
there are
non-kickers that have hot wives.
There's a big difference between hand over fist and getting opportunities.
getting
I mean, you're not getting the hand over fist that you're getting as a quarterback.
Oh, look, Tommy's going to tell us he was a kicker and got ass. What you want to bet?
I think you're right.
Tommy, are you a liar? What's up, man?
Listen, I was never a kicker, but I can absolutely guarantee you that they're getting run off. How much did you say Adam Vinatieri was worth?
Oh, we said Sebastian Janikowski was over $50 million career earnings.
There's your groupies.
That's
right
what
there,
I said.
No way. No way.
Worth $50 million is getting
Let me tell you something, Tommy. You want me to tell you why you're wrong? Because when you look at an entire football team of people, everybody's making more than the kicker. So you're not like, oh, well, let me go with the poor-ass kicker who's fat and doesn't have to work out and not athletic as opposed to this quarterback that's single or this linebacker that's single or a cornerback. All these dudes that are in shape and have way more money than a kicker? Come on, bro. You got 52 other people to choose. Well, 51 because of the punter. They got 51 other dudes to choose from on a team. Punter and kicker, you're like, they might get a chick, but she's probably like, has one eye, and like she's missing a finger and has three boobs.
There's a billion women out there. There's a billion women out there. You're comparing them to the other 51 guys on the team. I'm telling you, if you're worth $51 million, I don't care if you're a garbage truck collector, you're getting run off.
Yeah, it's probably all fat girls,
I agree.
Bro. Let's be real.
No.
It's just all fat groupies and the ones that nobody else would mess with. Dude, I feel like the athletic trainer would probably, the strength and conditioning coach would get better groupies than a kicker. He's in shape, at least. He's got a nice body.
Think about it. These guys are all playing golf half the time.
Exactly.
They got tans. They're not beat up.
They got dad bods, bro. No one wants to bang a football player with a dad bod.
Not all of them do, man. Just the ones that found the buffet line before they found the practice field.
I don't know. I don't feel like sex with a kicker is high on a groupie's list. That gets her nowhere. Like, you don't end up in the videos when you have sex with a kicker. That's sad sex. He's probably like just happy to be there.
And Tommy's right. The fact of the matter is, if the chick realizes it's the ultimate scenario, my husband's never coming home with like broken ribs and a concussion.
That's marriage, though. I'm talking groupies.
Okay, you know what? But the chick that's going to date him, too, is going to be like, he ain't going to be hurt. He's going to be able to give me everything he's got. And he's going to open up that wallet and we're going to eat at nice places and go on vacation.
Yeah, but that's a relationship. I'm talking groupies. I'm talking just, I don't even need your name. Let's just have sex and then we go our separate ways.
You don't think that what they're basically doing is laying the foundation on a date for saying, hey, I can hang with this guy from time to time. Bottom line is, I know that we're going to be hanging out, eating good food, drinking good drinks.
No.
Okay.
I don't. If I had groupies, you know what I would encourage them to do?
Please tell me.
Get upside. That's what I would say. Fantastic. I'd be like, hey, look, every groupie wants cash back in their pocket. That's how it goes. And get upside, man. This is the play. If you buy gas for your vehicle, duh, that's pretty much all of us. If you spend money when you eat out at lunch or dinner, duh, you need to get upside. And also put in my promo code Barry, B-A-R-R-Y. That's going to get you extra cash back on your first fill up. Dude, this app is amazing. If you're not on it yet, I don't know what you're doing. I know that more and more of you out there that listen to me talk about and preach the word to get upside are moving to the app. But if you haven't done it yet, do yourself a favor. Stop. Listen to my voice. Download the app to your phone because it's free. Put in promo code Barry and start getting cash back on the stuff you're already paying for. Up to 25 cents a gallon cash back on gas. Up to 35% cash back on food. Popeyes, Burger King, Wendy's. Not some out-of-the-way place that you've never heard of that you can't get money from and you're never going to eat there. It's legitimate restaurants. It's Shell. It's Exxon. Legitimate gas stations. There's really no reason not to use the app. There's no catch. There's no fees. There's no nothing. It's just you getting cash back because these businesses want your business. And that's why they want you to come there. And listen, ABC 13 run a story in a special on Get Upside. This is a legitimate product. It's a legitimate app that gets you legitimate cash back in your pocket. So go out there and download Get Upside. Put in my promo code Barry. That's B-A-R-R-Y. Start getting that cash back and thank me later.
Loaded and ready to rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Look, we know all of you people are working hard to make a living, and some of you people have your own business, and you're working out of your house, and that can be a very congested atmosphere sometimes with kids and pets and distractions. Well, I've got an idea for you. It's called The Cannon. It's opening up. It's a 120,000-square-foot co-working office space dedicated to entrepreneurs located just north of City Center and the Beltway. Pre-leasing is available, and nearly two-thirds of the office space is already being taken. Flexible month-to-month leasing, free convenient parking, bookable meeting rooms, and printing services available. It's like a one-stop shop for everything for your small business or your startup. Visit thecannonhouston.com/ESPN to book a tour while they still have offices available.
There you go. Do it right now. I forgot to tell you all the story. Oh,
of a man named Brady?
No. Before we get on this topic with other
yes
stuff, let's get Jared's call real quick. He wants to talk kickers.
Okay.
Jared, you're up.
Jared, what's up?
What's going on, fellas?
What's up, man? What do you got?
Hey, man, I totally agree with y'all. Kickers really piss me off a lot. You know, but I kind of disagree. I think some of them can pull some ass. I just got a few names for you. Look up when you got time. Cody Parker, Justin Tucker, Gostowski, and my favorite is Rob Baronis. Just check them out, fellas. You'll be thanking me after you get
check
back.
Them out or their wives?
Their wives.
I would assume I'm talking about their wives, but whatever your preference is.
No, Justin Tucker's the kicker from Texas, right?
Yeah, let's go with the kickers, not the you know their wives, not the kickers.
All right.
Just check them out, and then we'll see how you feel about that.
All right, Jared, appreciate the call, man.
That's great.
Speaking of great,
Yeah.
Nick's kicking some serious ass today.
Oh, he's working on right now?
Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty dope.
Yeah. Nick's working on some intel for us.
Somebody said, are y'all giving away more Dream Theater tickets? No, but we will have some Dynamo tickets to give away coming up later on.
3 o'clock hour, right?
Yeah, 3 o'clock hour. We'll have some Dynamo tickets to give away. So it won't be Dream Theater tickets, but I'd say better. Get to go to BBVA Compass Stadium and catch a game. So stick around for that.
That's fantastic.
All right, so we were talking about the success of punters and, you know, with girls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I decided to call Chris Cluey. He's on the HRMP hotline. He's a former punter. He played for the Vikings. He's on the hotline right now with Joel and Barry. Welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Chris, what's up, man?
Not much. Just showing in Southern California.
So, Chris, we'll give people a little bit of backstory because this falls right into what we were talking about. Ever since that you've been high school days, you've been kicking balls and doing good things because 99 USA Today's high school All-American team. Then you went to Cal. And then obviously you said your Southern California background. You attended football. You played college football for the Bruins. Barry mentioned, or Nick mentioned, you played for the Vikings. So you've had a storied career. We've had this debate going on the show today because Sebastian Janikowski stepped away. And we said when you make the money that Sebastian Janikowski and other kickers and punters have made, and you're still in a team atmosphere with an NFL environment, you get plenty of opportunities to get some tail. True or false?
I would actually say that is very much true because, growing up in high school, I was a huge nerd, still am, loved video games, science fiction, fantasy, everything like that, had, giant Coke bottle glasses that, you know, just total babe magnet, and then I went to college, where I met my wife, and then got married, and if a giant nerd Coke bottle wearing glasses person like me, can meet someone and get married, I think the rest of the punters are probably doing way better.
Oh, but Chris, now I mad respect if you came from a nerd and now you're here and you had a hot wife and now all that. But what I'm talking about, my point was, is like no one looks at the football team and goes, I'm banging the punter, or I'm going to bang that fat kicker, that Sebastian Janikowski and his fat body. I'm all over that. That was my point. Like, no one wants to bang the bass player in the band, right?
Well, I mean, it depends how good the bass player looks, right?
That's true.
See, that's what
my point is. Like, you settled down, and that's great. There are a lot of kickers, I think, that get hot wives, and more power to them. I'm talking groupies. I'm talking when chicks show up to the team hotel, no one's like, hey, what room is the punter in? Is that true?
Okay. So in that aspect, I will say that my groupie demographic when I was with the Vikings was like mid-30s to 40s soccer wives.
How heavy? How big were they? How big were they, Chris? Tell the truth. Were they pretty chunky?
No, actually, they were all right. I mean, soccer wives, you know, soccer moms tend to stay in shape. But I think the position does definitely dictate kind of the types of people that are looking at you and what they're looking to get. I'm not sure that punters are pulling in the same people that quarterbacks
but,
and running
yeah,
backs
and okay, but first of all, and Chris,
Chris, so my co-hosts were suggesting that punters and kickers get the same ass as a starting quarterback.
The same,
and that is not true.
Not the same in numbers or top shelf, but they're going to get their opportunities.
With a 40-year-old soccer mom, Joel.
Come on, man. He's talking. You've been in enough locker rooms and around enough football teams, and especially, like, and God forbid, I'm from Wisconsin. I know what you're dealing with. Soccer moms at least hopefully stayed in shape in Minnesota. But the bottom line is that you've been around the football team enough to know that kickers and punters are still going to have opportunities. There's still going to be hot chicks that are interested from the fact that they know how much they make. They're on an NFL team. They don't get banged up and hurt because, you know, they just kick ball, get check.
Yeah, no, well, and the other thing, too, is that from a college aspect, you're also hanging out with a lot of the other college sports because you're in the weight room at the same time. You're hanging out at the same facility. So, I mean, you get to meet the swim team. You get to meet the volleyball team. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you get to meet the cheerleaders and the gymnasts. So I would say that the opportunities are there.
What kicker, and it could be kicker or punter, which one do you think gets the most ass in the NFL?
Or did?
I have no idea.
I mean, if you had to take a guess, it's certainly not Sebastian Janikowski, right? It's like,
I mean, actually, I was with Janikowski the preseason of my final year, and that guy could party. He was a good dude.
Yep.
There's no doubt he could party. There is
we
no
knew
doubt
that.
About
We've
that.
We've read the stories on that.
I even said he gave up kicking and drinking beer to just drink beer. That's why he retired. He was tired of kicking getting in the way. But I'm just from like a, you know, like who do you think gets the most ass in the NFL from a kicker punter perspective? Well, if you had to guess,
there had to be some pretty boys.
I would say actually, you know what? It probably is. It's probably the Aussie rules guys because they've got that exotic foreign accent, and most of them are like 6'3", 220, you know, just freaking barreling down the field.
That is a great answer. Yeah, that's outstanding. I
think Vinatieri before you went with the snow gray look, and you know, obviously he's been in the league forever. But I mean, there's been some kickers and punters along the way that have been good-looking men, right?
Yeah, well I think Vinatieri definitely has the whole Silver Fox aspect, where you know he's got the distinguished mature.
Soccer moms are all over that.
Yeah. Oh yeah. He's for sure raking in the soccer moms.
Now I have to question. Have you kept up with like what Pat McAfee's been doing, and is there any animosity that maybe you're not doing that? Are you a bit jealous of the run he's getting as a former kicker?
No, Pat's a great dude. I actually talked with him a couple times, and I know he's doing a lot of broadcasting stuff now, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. No, he's a good dude. He's really funny too, and obviously very smart. So. Yeah, I don't think there's ever really any animosity between, you know, punters and kickers, because we all understand that no one else knows what it is that we do. So you get kind of this brotherhood of like, yeah, got yelled at by the fans and my coach again today, but they can't explain how we do our job. Well, kind of deal with it.
That's how we got on this topic. I'm glad you said that, Chris, because we were talking about football, and I said, man, you know, I wonder if it isn't the smart play when you have like a son or a kid to say, hey, focus on just being a kicker. You'll play 18 years. You'll make $53 million like Janikowski, rather than trying to make it as a, you know, cornerback or a quarterback or a linebacker or whatever. Just be a kicker. You'll get full ride. You'll make money. You don't get banged up. Is that something you kind of, you were like, did you know you were going to be a punter? You were like, yeah, I'm going to be a punter. This is what I do early on.
So I played soccer and baseball growing up. I actually had no intention of playing football until I got to high school and I needed a fall sport. And I could always kick a soccer ball really far. So I was like, all right, I'm going to see if I can kick a football really far. Because I had I'd separated the growth plate in my right shoulder playing baseball. I couldn't do any contact, so I wasn't allowed to play any other position. So my freshman year turned out I could kick a football really far. My sophomore year, I got into a single tackling drill and tore my ACL. So at that point, I figured that was a sign from the universe. Stick with the punting and kicking.
Well, it certainly served you well, man. You've had a great career, and hey, man, I appreciate you coming on and taking the time to settle this debate for us. Are you on social media where people can reach out to you? Maybe we got hot groupies in case something doesn't work out with the wife, and maybe.
I am at Chris Warcraft, but just be aware, I talk about a lot of nerdy stuff. So
wait, you're at Chris Warcraft.
Yep.
Oh my God, you are a nerd.
Yep.
That is outstanding.
But you're also an intelligent guy, and I remember even when you were playing that you've been very outspoken on social issues, and you've made hard stances that sometimes actually got in the way of some of your playing career. But if you have any websites or ways people can reach out and follow you other than Twitter, anything that you want to promote, hey, we're happy because you gave us a big favor here today filling in.
Oh, thanks. Twitter's pretty much about it. I'm actually writing a science fiction book that should be out next year. So follow my Twitter feed to see when that will be available. And, other than that, that's me.
Very cool, man.
This was outstanding, Chris. Yeah. Thank you so much, man.
Thanks for shedding some light on the ass that could possibly be received by kickers in the NFL.
I was kind of right. 40-year-old soccer moms. Chris, man, we appreciate you, bud. Thank you so much, man.
Yeah, no problem. Have a good one, guys.
You too. There you go. Chris Cluey, that was fantastic.
Nick, gold
great,
star, bro.
Great grab, Nick.
A plus for you. Well done.
He had an 8-year career. Seahawks, Vikings, Raiders. And that's where he said he crossed paths with Janikowski. But if you remember, and of course, with the Vikings being the Packers division, he had made some real hard stances on social issues, including same-sex marriages and gay rights. And it really created a lot of tension between him and his coaching staff and his special teams coach, who was one of those old school guys. They got into it quite a bit. And at one point, I think he was either considering suing the Vikings.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But smart dude.
I think I remember something about that. But I didn't realize that it was that was him that was involved with that. But that was outstanding. You know what? I mean, we're kind of lucky we were up against the break because I would have started asking video game questions. If he's at Chris Warcraft, I would have totally started asking
when
about
I looked
Fortnite
him up.
And playing like Assassin's Creed. I bet we would have done a whole other segment just on nerdy video game stuff.
Right. Man. When I looked him up, I was like, it can't be Chris Warcraft. That cannot be his Twitter handle. It doesn't have a picture of him or anything. And then if you look, there's another like a parody account called Evil Chris Cluey.
Uh-huh.
And the profile says, it reads as follows. I'm a professional punter who punts mainly children and elderly people. So I was like, no, I don't think it's that Twitter handle either. So that's why I wanted you to ask on the air.
And if we found out that he did his own lawn too.
Oh, my God. Geez. We're soulmates.
Would have been just off the charts. All right. Speaking of off the charts, before we get to break, I want to tell you about the great people at Infuse Energy, Josh Pesikoff and his staff, locally owned and operated. They're here to help you with any energy needs that you have for your business or your family. You want to obviously make sure you get the lowest rate possible, lock it in. Don't get stuck in a contract that really does a lot of things for the business and does nothing for you. That's what Infuse is all about. They're going to make sure that they tailor make a program for you, your family, your business, and they're going to ask you questions. So you call 844-INFUSE. 844-463-8732. You're not going to get an automated system. You're going to get a human being on the phone, and they're going to care enough to ask you questions just as many as you ask them. They want to know when you use energy the most, when you use it the least, what are your biggest concerns, and then they're going to go from there until they figure out the best rate and best plan they can possibly give you. You mentioned ESPN 97.5, and right off the top, you're going to get a $25 bill credit, and we're going to go from there. It's really affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back at all times. It's 100% green energy at your fingertips. So you're going to decrease your carbon footprint, and you're going to get a green plan, which is obviously going to help. And the fact of the matter is, if there's another company out there that can beat their rates, they're going to let you know. And you may not go with them this time, but you'll go with them down the road because they are honest with you. They don't want to pull the wool over your eyes, and they want to make sure that you realize you can trust them. Check them out, InfuseEnergy.com, or call 844-INFUSE2. Mention Joel Blank sent you by at ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, 90 in the books, 90 still to go. It's the second half of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on the day of the night of Game 2, Rockets-Warriors. We talked a lot about that in hour number one. If you want to go back on the podcast and check out on any of that, ESPN975.com. Click on the show tab, catch up on what you missed. But Chris Cluey just joined us.
That was outstanding.
After a fantastic debate within the suspect's house here at Gal Media Studios about whether punters and kickers got ass.
Now, what you people don't understand is how clutch that was of Nick to get a guest mid-segment. Normally, you have to plan that and call their people, and their people call your people, and then you schedule it, and then you got to remember to call them on time, and they don't answer the phone, and it just becomes this big debacle, and you guys have heard. We'll be like, yeah, coming up next, and then they don't, and then they're late or whatever. But to get a guy mid-segment to come on and talk about a ridiculous-ass topic like that, that's outstanding, dude.
Yeah, it's that first phone call that you make to them, and, hey, it's Nick with so-and-so, ESPN Radio, how you doing? And they're like, hey, man, what's up? Right when he said that, I was like, all right, he might be a cool dude. But I've had him on before, and he's always been like a social guy. So props to Chris Cluey for coming on.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Well, yeah,
being able to be honest.
I love, we could use him in other things.
Oh, absolutely. And I love how open he was about everything.
Yep.
That's my favorite thing, is he didn't hold anything back. He wasn't like, you know, trying to be PC and like, it was great. And then he's like, yeah, don't follow me on Twitter. I'm a dork. You're never going to, you won't like anything I tweet.
Yeah.
That's what I loved about it. That was
obviously
that was
somebody liked
the off season too, because I got Keenan to text back to me. And at first he was like, I don't know what you're talking about. I said, come on, bro, be honest with me. And he goes, man, I don't know about groupies. All I'm telling you is our kickers, every team I played on, got hot chicks.
That's too good. That is too funny.
And I don't want to get into what teams and when. I'll take him around his word for that.
That's funny. So I'm happy to report the vending machine is fixed.
Yeah.
I was able to go and get a Diet Coke without any issue today.
I got me some snacks.
Oh, you have cash on you because you owe me $5.
Oh, yes, you do.
Can you break a 20?
No, but you can, and then bring it to me because it's your job to pay me.
That's what
my
I do. I'm like, hey, man, can you break a 20? Most people don't have change.
I'll find somebody. Yeah, that's a smart play.
So you just keep doing that for like months. You'll never have to pay.
I'll find somebody right here that can break a 20 for you.
Yeah.
In fact, you know what? I'll just bring 4 or 5s tomorrow, and then we'll be good. But I was in the room with the, and I happened to go in there, and the vending machine guy was in there. And I was like, oh, God, it's a day of reckoning.
We need that SVU this right is now. Like, dun, dun.
This is like the Battle of Winterfell. This is like when the White Walkers here I come. I'm going to save the Seven Kingdoms because this raggly-ass vending machine. So I walk in, and I just looked at him for a second. I didn't say anything. I just kind of like looked him up and down, assessing the competition. And he was loading the vending machine, and he was talking to himself. And I was like, "Oh, he's crazy. I better tread lightly because I'm not sure that he's." He was yelling at the snacks, like he was literally like talking to the cheese nips as he's putting them in, and he's testing it. He would put in a cheese nip, he would punch in a code, and a cheese nip would fall. He would put it back, he would punch it. I was like, "All right, this dude's obviously."
Is he putting change in with every selection?
So yes. Okay. So I go, "Hey, bro. What's up with that machine?" And he was like, "What?" And I was like, "Oh, he's on edge." I was like, "It never works right, man. Like, it never works." He goes, "Well, if someone would call me and tell me what's wrong with it, I could fix it. But no one ever calls me. They just leave smart-ass post-it notes trying to be funny."
And then he was like, "Oh, that was Nick. That was my producer, Nick."
And I went, "Bro, someone left you a post-it note? That's immature." Knowing damn well I wrote that post-it note. I was not about to claim that post-it note at this point. I was like, "Really? They left you a post-it note?" He goes, "Yeah. All they got to do is call me and tell me the machine won't take quarters and I can fix it. But no, they're over here leaving post-it notes trying to be funny." Because I left a note that said, "Hey, man, could you, this machine won't take quarters or won't take change. Can you please replace it? It's really old and sucks." And he was like, "They're just trying to be." I was like, "Who would do that, man?"
I was
going to
say, "Did you tell him, hey, screw those guys. Get them off your back."
I was like, "Look, man, I think it was Joel." Oh,
of course.
No, I didn't do that. But I was like, "Man, that's we do have some immature people that work here, but your machine really is old." He's like, "Oh, I can fix it if I know what's wrong with it." And I was like, "Can I just have a Coke? I don't want to argue. I punked out, basically. I thought I was going to
Well,
like,
he knew what was happening. Believe me. That vending machine has been there ever since I started working here.
And that was 7 years ago.
Yeah, so you are not the first person to complain about that vending machine. So he's probably, you know, super defensive about it.
Dude, it's so old. All the buttons and the numbers and letters are in old English. It's like, it's such an old-ass machine. But he was not having it. I figured if I would have sit there and roasted him in that machine, he would have tried to fight me in the lunchroom. So I was like, I better tread lightly.
Because this one guy named, he used to be a salesman named Sean,
uh-huh,
like years ago. And he's like, "Look, man, we're going to take this business and we're going to take it to this vending machine business. We're going to go to the top. All right, these Rice Krispie Treats, they got to go, man. 2 bites and they're done. I don't want no Rice Krispie Treats." And he starts giving them suggestions and the guy is just, he's just quiet, but he's completely aggravated by the situation.
Yeah.
Because Sean has given him all these suggestions that he's definitely not going to take.
Well, I was up front talking with Esme and Charlotte, and I was like, "Yeah," he busted me, and he was like, "Y'all leaving these funny notes." And I was like, "I totally didn't claim it." They were laughing. And then they were like, "Man, all the snacks suck, though. They're like old. It's the same things. Like, you just plain Lay's and, you know, Doritos, and no one wants all that stuff. You got to have some variety.
I'm okay with the Doritos, but you got
the snacks."
But here's the thing. If you're really doing the vending machine game right, you're talking to the offices that you're putting the machines in and going, "What do you like?" Because obviously it's going to increase business if you give them products that they want to digest. So instead of like bland, boring things.
Like paydays. Like who eats a payday?
I mean, if someone put a Snickers in there and a Twix bar and Reese's Cups. And
you know who eats a payday? Groupies that go after punters. That's who eats payday.
Well, you know what? They still have nuts. In a payday.
I should have.
And I'm not going any further.
That was coming.
I'm just telling you.
Well. Yeah, so there was a confrontation at the vending machine, and I punked out.
See, I thought for sure you would be the one yelling at him, but he is kind of a big dude.
About that vending machine, he's not just a big dude; he's got a scary face.
I think I've seen it.
You ever seen people with just a scary face where you look at them and think that face has been through some stuff? Just in general, I don't know what specifically, but what?
That's nice to be known for. I'm the guy that has a face that looks like he's been through some stuff.
You've never seen somebody like that with a face like, what's that dude that played Machete? What is it?
Oh, I know. Oh, yeah, I know.
Yeah, he looks like he's been through some stuff.
Edward James almost has a face that's been through some stuff.
Doesn't Trey look like he's got a face that's been through some
stuff? No, Trey looks like a 40-year-old that was just born.
Well, I guess Trey's the beard, face does not the beard look like covers it's been up through some the stuff. Boyishness.
Yeah, no, Trey's face. Speaking of Trey, we'll get to this article later about all the stuff that gets left at a NASCAR event afterwards.
Oh.
Rednecks are trashy. Like, we didn't know that already.
We didn't know that, yeah.
Rednecks, though, boy, they'll leave some stuff behind. TVs and mayonnaise. We'll go through the whole list because it's wild. But right now, man, I want to tell the peeps about the Dynamo. Houston Dynamo off to the hottest start in club history. And they're back in town this week. They return home this Saturday. They're going to be facing their rival FC Dallas over there at BBVA Compass Stadium. You need to get out there and check it out. Dynamo, one of the fastest, most exciting teams in Major League Soccer, period, led by Albert Elise. He continues to dominate the MLS, one of the hottest young stars in the league, period, along with Memo Rodriguez, Houston's own homegrown star. He's looking to continue his early season goal-scoring success. And don't forget, listen, if you go out, get there early, man. My guy Chingo Bling is performing on the Bud Light stage for the pregame party. How cool is that? The game starts actually at 3 o'clock, but get there early for that pregame party at the Bud Light stage with Chingo Bling. Game is May 4th, and hey, check this. First 5,000 fans get a Dynamo rally towel presented by UT Physicians Health. That's 5,000 fans. First 5,000, a Dynamo rally towel presented by UT Physicians Health. Also on Sunday evening, Houston Dash are taking on the club from Chicago at BBVA Compass Stadium. It's Inspiring Women Night with a salute to Houston women who are leading in their industry. Kalia Ojai and Rachel Daly lead the women against Chicago out there at BBVA Compass Stadium. If you've not been to that stadium, go check it out. It's outstanding. For tickets and more information, make sure you check out HoustonDynamo.com. That's HoustonDynamo.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling through hour number two, 3 hour show. Having a lot of fun on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Hopefully, you've got us along for the ride wherever you may be in the big city on this Tuesday. Yes, we're aware of Way Back Wednesday tomorrow. We're working on it.
Speaking of that, somebody said John Singleton passed away. Rest in peace to him. So, do songs that were in his movies.
That's actually a good one.
Not bad at all.
Right.
So, I'm down with that. I'm either down with songs from John Singleton movies. Or songs about whining and crying. And it can have the word whine or cry, or it could just be about whining and crying.
I like the Singleton one.
Okay. I'm down. Joel. Joel's not going to decide until the end of the show because he's worried I'm going to make my list. So I'm just telling you now.
You're not, Nick? You know he's going to make his list before the show's over with.
One of you guys are going to make the list. I mean, you did.
Totally be Joel. Totally. Okay. I would never do that.
All right. Because it's never happened before.
I'm down with either one of those, so y'all decide. It sounds like Barry is just jealous because he doesn't have any comedy groupies. That's not true. I will remind you that in El Paso, where I am headed this week, I had a couple try to take me to Juarez, have sex with me, and then murder me. So I had that. In Fort Worth, I had a girl touch my beehole.
Right. Doorbells and oil changes.
So there's plenty of comedy groupies in the old Laminack train, so don't worry about it. That came out wrong. Do more chicks sleep with TV folks or radio folks? Ooh.
Depends. Are you Cheetah Johnson or are you Mark Berman? I mean,
it's not Cheetah Johnson anymore, sir.
Who? What is it?
Cheetah Kraft.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
She married Robert Kraft?
No.
Oh.
No, Lane Kraft.
I don't know who that is.
I don't either.
just all you need to know is it's Cheetah's husband.
Cheetah Craft. Cheetah's husband. That's not nice.
Cheetah's husband.
I would say in general, way more TV folks get groupies and chicks than radio guys. Radio guys, 99% of the time, are ugly.
I would tend to agree with you, and also add to that a lot of people, and we've had these conversations before, it's always about people have a perception of what the radio guy is going to look like because of what they sound like. And then when they see him, they're like, wow, totally different.
Well, and listen, let me just point this out right now. First person to text face for radio jokes, I'm blocking because those are played. You don't need to do those anymore. We all have heard that joke.
So when was that joke first? Like in the 70s, right?
No, when radio was invented.
Yeah.
They were like, all right, here's this thing called a radio, and here's a joke called Face for Radio. Go have fun.
Yeah.
So I swear to God, anybody texts or tweets that, I'm blocking.
And now that we're in the digital era, you get to see everybody's doing these video streams.
Just stop the Face for Radio jokes.
So everybody's getting uppercut in the face with the reality.
Yeah. Now, I will say this. In general, radio guys are just ugly. That is true. Because you can't just be this awful-looking dude on TV. I mean, think about it.
Well, but
David Nuño, but he crossed over. He was a radio guy. But Nuno's not an ugly dude.
But social media has changed that a little bit in the fact that at least if you're a groupie or you know a chick looking at guys on radio and TV, you know what you're getting. At least from a visual perspective.
True.
Radio, it's a crapshoot.
But everybody.
But now with social media, you can do a little research and find out more information.
I was going to say, everybody, I think, eventually, if you have a show that you listen to, a lot, then you're going to Google what the host or hosts look like. I did. I mean, I do. If I listen to somebody on a regular basis, and I want to see what they look like. I've had people recognize me that have never met me because they've looked up our faces.
Yep.
They see it and they go, "Oh, hey, look, that's Barry or whatever." But I think in general, and this is no. I mean, like you said, Mark Berman is a TV guy, not a handsome man. Sorry, Mark. I hate to be the one to get the breaking news before you did.
If he hears this, he's totally calling me. He's totally yelling at me.
He'll text me.
I don't care.
I don't either. But
Mark Berman, not handsome. Also, don't sleep on the fact that newspaper guys might be the ugliest of the three.
Oh, my God. Neanderthals wouldn't sleep with those guys.
Yeah, I mean, barring Jerome. Jerome's a handsome man.
You say guys and girls or just guys?
I'm just going to say guys.
Jerome's? Yeah, no, you can say girls, too.
No, I'm going to say guys.
No, it's okay.
I'm going to stick to guys.
Jerome.
Your hug quotient is going to go down, but let's just.
Jerome is a good-looking man.
I disagree, but
Jonathan
go ahead.
Fagan, not so much.
Yeah, he's that man.
But you got to figure it out. It evens out. John McClane brings the bar back up again.
That's true. And McClane does radio. He is the quintessential ugly guy. Whoa. Radio and newspaper.
At least McClane runs
the bar up. You just he brings the quintessential ugly guy.
At least
guy.
He owns it?
Oh, yeah. He owns his fatness and everything. Ugliness, everything.
Yeah.
Those other guys, they still think they're hot. You know what I'm saying? Like, they think they're that good. Like, they have a chance with somebody.
Fagan, he's got a bit of an attitude, too.
Ooh, I could tell you stories.
Boy. You talk about a face that's been through some stuff.
My goodness.
Man.
Just making friends left and right.
Oh, yeah. You going to go to the game? You going to go to the game
I
three?
Could. I totally would. In fact, I would do it just so I could ask a question before him. Just to make you mad. I have a question for James Harden. James, what's up, dude? That'd be my whole question if Fagan would lose his mind. How come you got to ask the question before me?
It seems to me that we only get a certain amount of questions in a press release or in a press sitting. And if that's going to be one of the questions and I lose one of mine, I'm not going to be happy.
Boy. He gets cantankerous.
Oh, boy.
Yes,
and I'll tell you this.
Does.
I'll tell you this for sure. So, you know how, and we started this trend when it was still, I want to say when it was Fox Sports Southwest, before we got into AT&T Sportsnet and everything that the Rockets are on now, of showing the coach's post-game press conference, right? When he met with the media. And obviously, anyone's free to answer questions. But because we're just trying to get the audio out there of what the coach's feelings were on whatever happened in the game, you don't think twice about it. Fagan was the guy that came to us and said, I either need an endorsement deal, sponsorship, or graphics because I asked the most questions and I need...
What?
He wanted like something for that. It's like, dude, we're doing you a favor by putting in your... you as one of the questions, we're taking your audio... Oh, no, that was the deal for a while.
What?
Yeah. He wanted that kind of love from the from the network.
Wow. I didn't know all that. I love these juicy stories. You got any other juicy stories you can reveal?
Boy. It just depends on the topic. But, yo, that's a legitimate thing. Like, I would never think twice of if, like, take, for instance, last year in the baseball playoffs, MLB Network's covering the press conferences live. And I asked a few questions. Nick, you did it the other night. You asked Harden a question. I would never think in my mind, you know what? I need to contact MLB Network and say, hey, if you're going to use my questions, how about a little love for me? You know, how about a little something for the effort?
Wow.
That's crazy.
That is thinking very highly of yourself.
That's taking it a bit too far.
Like, I'm loving every moment of this segment.
The question it was asked should have been for you. You didn't ask that question. That's for your writing. That's a asking questions in a press conference is a very personal thing.
Yeah.
It's a very for me, because that's what you guys, let's stop and rewind and remind the listeners what y'all yelled at me about. Because I said specifically you should be asking questions that the public will want to know. And you and Nick both yelled at me and said, no, they asked questions for their story.
No, but I said that media members covering the event, yes, absolutely should still be asking questions that are pertinent to the game that people want to know. For sure.
Don't start backtracking now.
Well, I was on an I've island on this said one. I said that along Nick the whole
said,
time.
Nick said they have a slant on their story and you backed him up.
No, I said that okay, I've always said that. I even said to you that you should be the guy, if you have a press pass, that you should ask questions that people want the answers to, even if you're not going to personally use it in your radio show.
Okay.
But here's the other thing. When you lose sight of what your real job is, and you lose the vision of what you're getting out of it, it's like we get all the requests all the time from people from different cities and markets to ask us to come on to talk about different things happening in Houston. Did you ever once in your mind think, yeah, bro, I'll go on, but how much are you paying
sponsor me?
Yeah, what are you paying me?
That's
no,
awful.
Because you know what? It's good publicity for you. They leave you an opportunity. Last night, I did the 95.7 in the Bay Area. And you know what? They did me a solid, because at the end of the interview, you can follow them on Twitter at @PacManJoel.
Nice.
You can do this, you can do that. And you know what? That's all you need of it. But when you start thinking you're bigger than the game and you should start getting money and sponsorship deals, get out of here, man.
Somebody texted and said, faces that have also been through some things, Mickey Rourke, Greg Oden, and Ron Perlman. All
facts, and I'll give you another one. Gary Busey.
Oh, boy. He's on the Mount Rushmore of faces that have been through some things.
No question.
Him and Edward James Olmos, I think, are definitely two guys on that Mount Rushmore.
Now, Edward James Olmos is different than the guy you were talking about, though. That
Machete?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's two separate dudes.
Right.
Not the same guys.
But they kind of look like they could be related.
They do. Maybe those three right now on the Mount Rushmore faces that have been through some stuff.
I'm sure we'll kick this around one more time before we kick it off to the Blitz. But we've got 1 hour to go still in the show. 60 minutes on the clock. Don't go anywhere. It's the final hour of The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.